Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Algoma Central Corporation Third Quarter Results Conference Call. At this time, all lines are in listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Instructions will be provided at that time for you to queue up for a question. If anyone has any difficulties hearing the conference, please press star zero for operator assistance at any time. I would like to remind everyone that this call is being recorded on Thursday, November 6, 2014. I would now like to turn the conference over to Mr. Peter Winkley, VP of Finance and CFO. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Algoma's Fiscal 2014 Third Quarter Investor Conference Call. Joining me today on the call is Greg White, President and CEO of Algoma. This morning, I will take you through the financial highlights for the quarter, following which I will turn the call over to Greg for his perspective on significant events and for the outlook for the business. After that, we will open it up for questions. Hopefully, you have by now seen our news release, which came out after the close yesterday, and we've also fired our quarterlies on SEDAR. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll give you a quick overview of the quarterly financial results. Before I begin, I should remind you that our comments today may contain forward-looking statements that are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to vary materially. Some of these risks are disclosed in the management's discussion and analysis portion of the company's annual report and in the 2013 annual information form, all of which are filed with the relevant securities regulators. And of course, unless otherwise noted, all amounts are in Canadian dollars. I'm going to take you briefly through the financials for the quarter and for the year-to-date, touching on our operational highlights. As you will remember, the winter of 2014 caused significant delays and created a large backlog headed into the third quarter. This, combined with demand for freight services resulting from strong demand for freight services, led to essentially full utilization for our domestic dry bulk fleet for the quarter. Consolidated revenue climbed 12% for the quarter to $164 million to $146.9 million last year, and for the year to date was $354 million compared to $342.6 million. Segment earnings after tax for the quarter were $26 million this year compared to $29.8 million for the quarter in 2013 and $22.2 million compared to $24.6 million for the year to date amounts for those periods. This is mainly attributable to factors affecting domestic dry bulk earnings that I will discuss shortly. Our general and administrative expenses are down from last year in the quarter and on the year to date. This is mostly related to professional fees, including a recovery of a portion of an award for cost that we received on the JZU tanker cancellation decision that was in our favor last year. G&A costs are fully allocated across our business units and are so reflected in those business unit results. Net earnings for the quarter were $24.4 million compared to $28.3 million for 2013, and earnings per share were 63 cents compared to 73 cents last year. I will now turn to the results for our business units. Domestic dry bulk revenues for the fiscal 2014 third quarter were $120.7 million, up 15% compared to $105.2 million for 2013. For the year-to-date, revenues were $230.7 million compared to $220.4 million last year. We have caught up on substantially all of the backlog from the second quarter, and customer volumes remain very strong. We experienced high fleet utilization in the quarter, and we expect to see that continue for the balance of the year. The domestic dry bulk segment after-tax operating earnings were $16.9 million for the quarter compared to $19.1 million reported for 2013, and for the year to date were $0.9 million compared to $0.3 million last year. Despite the strength in sales, third quarter earnings were negatively impacted by two factors. During the quarter, we made a decision to liquidate certain surplus parts and spares. These assets, which were originally bought to replace equipment on our older vessels, have been judged to be surplus to our needs in light of our fleet renewal plans. As the expected realizable value is lower than book value, we have recorded an impairment provision of $4 million in the quarter. During the quarter, we also had two ship incidents that resulted in both incremental repair costs and out-of-service time. The combined after-tax impact of these two items was $6.4 million. Demand in our product tanker segment remained strong, and revenue for the quarter was up 4% from last year. Revenues from product tankers for the quarter were $25.2 million compared to $24.1 million in 2013. The year-to-date results, or year-to-date revenues rather, were $69.9 million compared to $71.4 million last year. To maintain our capacity to service customer demand, we have temporarily moved the Algoma Hansa from its ocean trading pool into our domestic fleet. The Hansa is a sister ship to the Algo Sea, and at her last dry docking, we installed equipment to facilitate her use in Lake's service. Positioning the Hansa with the domestic fleet will enable us to minimize our use of outside charters going forward. Segment earnings after tax were $4.9 million for the 2014 quarter and $9.2 million for the year-to-date, compared to $5.7 million and $10.6 million reported for the same periods last year. The extra revenue generated in the third quarter this year was offset by costs to transition the Hansa to the domestic fleet and some operating inefficiencies during that transition period. For ocean shipping, our sale of pool revenues for the quarter was $13.7 million, and for the year-to-date was $47 million, compared to $16.7 and $48.3 million for the same periods in 2013. The decrease in our share of revenue from the pool and a corresponding drop in earnings from the joint venture were the result of the retirement of one of our 50% owned ships at the beginning of the third quarter. The impact of the reduced share of revenue in the quarter was partially offset by a gain on the sale of the vessel, which is included in earnings from joint ventures. Quarterly after-tax earnings for the segment were $3.1 million for 2014 and $4.4 million last year. The drop is due to an increase in operating costs for our vessels. For the year-to-date, the segment earned $10.3 million compared to $11.9 million last year. Revenue from our real estate segment, Algoma Central Properties, was $7.9 million compared to $7.2 million in 2013, and segment after-tax earnings were $1 million even for 2014 compared to $0.7 million last year. Improved occupancy in several buildings is the main driving factor behind both revenue and segment income improvements. I have spoken several times in past quarters about our investment in updating Station Mall in Sault Ste. Marie. This investment is beginning to bear fruit as the new H&M store opened in the mall in the quarter and has been greeted with great customer enthusiasm. That summarizes the highlights on the income statement, and I'll now turn to major items affecting cash flow. Cash flow from operations for the quarter was $53 million compared to $30 million in 2013. This is primarily due to improved working capital compared to last year. There was limited cash used in investing activities in the quarter. If you'll remember, the current focus in the Equinox project is the two CWB vessels that are next in line for delivery. Our shareholders' equity at quarter end was $570.6 million, or $14.67 a share. And yesterday, our board of directors declared a 7-cent per share dividend payable on December 1st to shareholders of record on November 17th. That covers the operating and financial highlights of the third quarter, and I'll now turn it over to Greg White, our CEO.
Thank you, Peter. I'm very pleased to be able to report that the third Equinox-class vessel, the CWB Marquis, was delivered on October 31st. The CWB Marquis is the third in a series of eight vessels being built at Nantong Mingdi Shipyard. Algoma will own six of the series, consisting of the two gearless bulk carriers already delivered and the four self-unloading vessels. CWB Inc. owns the CWB Marquis and the second gearless bulk carrier, the CWB Strongfield, which is scheduled to be launched at the end of November and delivered by the end of the first quarter 2015. Two CWB Inc. vessels will be operated as part of the Algoma Canadian Flag dry bulk fleet and will be managed both commercially and technically by Algoma. The CWB Marquis departed China on November 5th with 18 very eager and excited Algoma crew members. We expect the vessel to arrive in Canada and join the Algoma fleet before the end of December. We have talked previously about the improvements the Equinox-class vessels bring to the Algoma fleet. These improvements have been designed to optimize fuel efficiency and operating performance while minimizing their environmental impact. One of these significant improvements was the installation of exhaust gas scrubbers on all 8 Equinox-class vessels. These scrubbers, which are designed to remove 97% of all sulfur oxide from shipboard emissions, represents the first application of an IMO-approved integrated scrubber on the Great Lakes St. Lawrence Waterway. On October 31st, we announced that we had received all requisite approvals for our Equinox-class exhaust gas scrubbing systems. Commissioning of the first scrubber unit installed on the Algoma Equinox was completed by a team from the manufacturer, Wärtsilä, together with Algoma technical and shipboard personnel during the summer, and the system underwent rigorous testing in September. This testing confirmed the scrubber's effectiveness at removing 97% of the sulfur oxide emissions from all engine exhaust streams on board the vessel. We're extremely pleased to have the first unit fully commissioned and approved for use. The Equinox class vessels are not only the most fuel efficient operating on the Great Lakes, they are now the cleanest. As Peter mentioned, we have experienced strong demand from our domestic customer base, essentially from May after the ice disappeared through the end of the third quarter. We see this demand, which is driven mainly by the continued strong eastern grain movement, strong demand for steel products, particularly automobiles, and the strong demand for road control salt to replenish the depleted inventories, continuing through to the end of the 2014 season. I will now turn it over to the conference operator for the question and answer session.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, should you have a question, please press star followed by one on your touch-tone phone. If you are using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before pressing any keys. One moment, please, for your first question. Your first question comes from Otto Chung from GMP Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, morning.
Morning, Otto.
Hi, Otto.
Hi. Just my first question just relates to the domestic dry bulk side. I mean, you guys mentioned that two impacts this quarter on margins. I just wanted to get a better sense of what the incident was with respect to that. And you mentioned the $6.4 million impact. I was just wondering if that's to an after-tax amount or is it before tax?
So going in reverse order, the 6.4 is after tax and it's inclusive of the impairment provision.
Okay.
And the ship incident was a grounding, and it results in both an out of service period as well as insurance deductible. So we call it an incident cost, but it's the combined impact on our P&L of that event.
Okay. And is that I mean, I'm not that familiar, but is that something that's, you know, common or avoidable, or you know, something, any color on that would be great.
Well, we certainly hope to avoid all incidents, that's true.
Okay, and I guess with respect to 6.4 being the after-tax including, can you just, using the same tax rate that you guys mentioned for the inventory write-down, I sort of estimate a before-tax amount of about $4.8 million. Is that sound correct?
The tax rate on a combined... Yeah, it's in the range. The tax rate, it's all Ontario activity, so our effective tax rate in Ontario is 26.5%.
Okay. So, okay. I just want to get a sense if I want to back out some of these items out because to show some of the revenue, I mean, some of the gross margin growth from your Equinox ships. I mean, you have new additional ships coming on in the coming quarters. Should we expect margins to improve X some of these items?
Definitely. That's why we're spending $300 million. No, the new ships will clearly increase our margins.
Okay. Okay. And just my last question before I jump back into the queue. With respect to your joint venture side, you mentioned a gain on sale of $695,000. Just any color on that? Is just a sale of an old ship for scrap, or is there anything out of the ordinary for that?
No, that is just the difference between the proceeds that we realized on the sale for scrap compared to the net book value at that point in time. So So I mean, we obviously try to depreciate our ships based on an estimate of what the scrap value will be when they are finally retired. It'll vary up and down a little bit, typically not a very material amount when the actual transaction closes.
Okay. Okay, actually, maybe I'll just squeeze in one more. You know, given that you have a couple quarters with your new Equinox ships, can you just comment on your overall, I guess, satisfaction with the new ships and, you know, is efficiency and everything meeting targets and, you know, could we expect anything? Yeah, so any comments on that would be great.
Sure. Otto, it's Greg. We're definitely pleased with the performance. It's essentially as advertised, and we are, and now that we have the scrubbers certified, we'll be getting that additional efficiency through the ability to burn heavy sulfur-laden fuel, which is cheaper, and clean the sulfur out of it. So we continue to be pleased with the operational aspects of Equinox. We're certainly not pleased with the delays that have incurred, but those will be behind us before we know it.
Yeah, just as a reminder, in terms of timing, the Algoma Equinox has been in service for the full year this year. The second ship, the Harvester, joined the fleet in the third quarter. So the two ships are applicable for the third quarter and then going forward.
Okay, and with some of the experience running the ship so far this year, are there any things that you guys are changing with the upcoming ships, or is it still pretty much standard as same blueprint for all the other ships so far?
Same blueprint.
Okay, perfect. I'll jump back into the queue. Thank you.
Might be changing a few electrical positions and doorknobs, but nothing that relates to the operation efficiency of the vessels.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, should you have a question, please press star followed by one. Your next question comes from Blake Pelham from Raymond James Limited. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi, Greg and Peter.
Hey, Blake.
So I take it that this quarter has a few moving parts in it. In terms of the write-offs on the spare parts and that kind of thing, do these relate to certain vessels of a certain vintage, or can you give us a little bit of flavor on that?
Yeah, it's spare equipment, so it's large replacement pieces that were bought for specific ships as spares. That when we look at the expected remaining life of those ships now, the cost if we were to swap that equipment out today relative, compared to that remaining life, it just isn't economic for us anymore to carry those assets or to replace the existing assets. So it is pertinent to particular ships, and they are all in the older part of the fleet.
Okay. Do the related incidents, is that basically the Aird and the Algo Sioux, or is it just basically the Aird kind of thing in terms of the grounding?
It's principally the Aird.
Well,
okay.
The Algo Sioux is a part of it, but
yeah.
The Aird was the most significant.
The bulk, okay.
Event.
And can you give us any flavor on the costs associated with reflagging the Hansa?
Not specifically. The cost of reflagging as an activity isn't very large. It's really the transitional period of moving from it was located at the time we made the decision to move it off the coast of Africa. So there's costs associated with getting it over here, getting it cleaned up for use in the lakes, and then just operating inefficiencies in the startup period.
Okay. That leads me to another question on the new ships that are coming over. So when the new ships are fit out in China, is the expense for fitting out and fuel to transport it to Canada capitalized or expensed? And if expensed, in what period is it expensed in?
No, all the costs that we incur right up until it picks up its first cargo and joins service in the Canadian fleet is capitalized.
Okay.
So part of our $300 million overall budget is that fit out and positioning cost for the ships.
And in the MD&A, I noticed that the you made a comment with regards to the tanker division and that demand had moderated somewhat, I think was the comment.
Compared to 2013, 2013 was a very strong year. So,
okay.
So we have seen some moderation of that and a small drop in revenue compared to that year. If
okay.
you went back to 2012, we are still showing pretty good revenues compared to 2012.
Right. Do you, at this point in time, can you give us any flavor on what you're seeing for 2015 demand?
I think it'd be tough to give a pretty definitive statement. I think the big part of the answer would be it depends. It certainly depends on the winter. So that would impact the movement of salt, depending on how much is laid down on the roads. The grain crop this year is definitely not the record crop of the year before, but it's a decent crop, so we see the eastern movement of grain still being quite strong, and the other two big factors we face are how is the steel demand going to hold up, and what about construction, which we see improving, but there's still much more to improve. So those factors are the things that will determine whether it's a strong or not so strong year.
One final question, and I'll go. But as far as the fleet is concerned, the dry bulk fleet right now, I'm just trying to get a handle on: do you have how many more vessels do you have to retire in the next couple of years? Is it kind of one for one as the new ships come over, or is it a couple vessels and that's it? Can you give us any flavor on that?
Well, we've been saying from the start of this program that it's not a fleet expansion initiative, it's a fleet renewal. So we have, counting the Marquis that's on its way, six more to come. I think you can read into that there'll likely be, through this period, six gone.
Okay.
It's not an ex. It'll also depend somewhat on demand and somewhat on the condition of the candidate vessels as their name comes up.
Okay.
It would be fair to say that as it stands right now, there are two vessels that will clearly be retiring at the end of this year that we operated this year because of the strong demand. So there are two on the fleet that will go in December.
Okay.
And they've been replaced really by the Harvester, the Marquis, and then the Strongfield at the beginning of next year.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks, Blake.
Thank you. We do have a follow-up question from Otto Chung. Please go ahead.
Hi. Sorry, just one more quick question. Can you give us an idea of what, the maintenance schedule is like for the upcoming two quarters? Is it busier or less busy than last year? And any commentary on that would be great.
The maintenance schedule? You're talking about our winter maintenance?
Yeah, like dry docking schedule, for the upcoming quarter. So.
It wouldn't be the next two quarters. It would be the first quarter of 2015, that's when we do our winter maintenance.
Sorry, yeah, Q1, yeah.
Yeah, Q1. We don't see that changing substantially from what we incurred last year.
Okay, that's helpful. That gives me an idea of what certain costs would be like. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. Please proceed.
It's Greg. Before we close, I would like to invite anybody who's interested to follow the crew and the of the CWB Marquis on their voyage home. There, you'll find a blog on our website that they're posting to for this voyage. So if you're interested, please join them. Thank you for joining us today, and should you have any further questions, don't hesitate to give Peter or myself a call. Thank you.